Our lesson for today is from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the question of the end of the world is not if it might end, but only a matter of when will it end. The end of the world will not be an event that humans achieve, but one which God controls. Although it seems that St. Peter depicts here a rather severe scenario of global warming when he writes about elements melting with fervent heat and the earth burning up. I would suggest that St. Peter's version of global warming is a bit more important for you to know about and to be concerned about than current theories of warm weather by former vice presidents. St. Paul tells us about the end of the world, the dissolution of all that you see around you. A hymn writer put it as, "A day of wrath, O day of mourning, see fulfilled the prophet's warning, heaven and earth in ashes burning." The fact of this end for the world is one about which Peter wants you to be forewarned. But his warning is not giving you a day and an hour or even a year for you to know. In fact, Scripture never gives us a specific time for the end. Rather, we're told the end times simply are now. We are in them. And that the second coming of Jesus could come any time. It will come as a thief in the night, as something that comes unexpected at an hour that we do not know. The end of the world is the day of judgment for us. And that is why St. Peter sets before you the question, what manner of person should you be in holy conduct and godliness? If you believe that the end of the world could come at any time, does that impact the way you think, the way you speak and act toward other people? Does belief in the coming end of the world affect which God you worship? Will the God in which you place your trust give you the confidence that no matter what happens, he will see you through it all? If your God is unable to help you, do you have another plan to escape the coming judgment? Are you ready to face the destruction of the world based on your own resources, your own ingenuity, your own good intentions? How about relying on some of the things Peter says here, your holy conduct and godliness? Are these sufficiently strong and vibrant enough in your life to make you confident of escaping the coming destruction? Those of you who have read The Hammer of God, remember that in the first story, the dying man, Johannes, finds no comfort in his life. Even though by human standards his life was one of holy conduct and godliness, yet he found no hope. And why not? Because all he could focus on was what he lacked when compared to the demands of God's law. His sanctification, his life of holiness, even his repentance, his sorrow over sin, gave him no peace. When we consider the destruction of the world and what it means for each of us personally, we may very well find the same unease Johannes felt. Are we ready to endure the blazing destruction of the world while knowing that in a blink of an eye we will stand before God? Where is the hope? Where is confidence? Where is strength? Is your life of holiness holy enough? Is your life of good works good enough? Is your life of charity charitable enough? These are the questions that St. Peter wants you to consider as you learn about the end of the world. And the answer to them all, finally, is no. They are not enough. What then was the answer for the dying man, Johannes, if not his holy conduct? To what was he pointed? Well, to him were spoken the promises of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ. He was pointed away from what he did and pointed to what Jesus did. Johannes was pointed away from himself and to his Savior. And that is your confidence today, too. As we contemplate the end of the world, an end that will come one day at any time, as we contemplate that truth, let us keep growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is the one who takes us from the destruction of this world to the righteousness of the new creation, the new heavens, and the new earth. He does this because he has gone through that path already for us. He's gone through death for you. He's been raised for you. And that is what he leads you through too. In baptism, we are connected with that great victory of Jesus, his crucifixion and resurrection. Thereby, we are promised and given that which overcomes our sin, which overcomes death, which overcomes the world, and which even overcomes the devil. We are given Jesus. We are given his life. And that is in what you will appear before God. The life of Jesus. God then sees in you all the perfection of the holiness of Jesus, his good works, his charity. All are yours by faith in this one and only Savior of the world. Stay with him and look with confidence beyond the end of this world and look to the new heavens and new earth promised to you by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your Savior. In his name, amen.